This is Sean with Voices of SAE, and I've got a legend on the phone, at least within his era. This is John Arredondo. Johnny, Dondo, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you? It's great to hear your voice.
You too. So let's take it all the way back. What year were you born and in what city?
I was born in 1975 up in the region in Hobart, Indiana.
Hobart. And what high school did you go to? And when did you graduate?
I went to Portage High School, and I graduated from there back in 1993.
Okay. And then how did you know or want to go to Ball State? What was that kind of transition, or what was the reason?
What was the reasoning? That's a great question. I would say it's one of the few colleges I applied to. Pretty much everyone at my high school is either going to IU or Purdue, which I didn't really want to go to because everyone was going there. So I just kind of asked some people, some teachers, and I said, hey, where'd you go? Well, obviously, Ball State's not a teacher's college. A lot of them said Ball State, and I said, all right, I'll apply there. So I applied at Ball State, Wabash, and the University of Miami in Florida, and got into Ball State. Actually, the first time I ever set foot on campus was for real campus. Like, walk-around was actually orientation right before the summer before I enrolled because I was the first person to go to college in my family, so I didn't know how the process worked or anything. So I applied, got accepted. I thought, all right, I guess I'm going to Ball State, and the rest is history, I guess you say.
All right, so let's lead it up to SAE. Who were your first contacts? How did that get connected?
Oh, man, now you're going back. So, God, my first contact at the house probably would have been Sean Kirker, Mike Boedeker, Corey Miller, who were all, God, Beta Lambdas, I think.
Yeah.
You were after them, though, right? Or no, you were Beta Lambda.
No, yeah,
right?
Yeah, Beta Lambda. So what was your pledge class?
I was a Beta Nu. So I met all you knuckleheads through the dorms, but I met Mike and Corey primarily because they used to hang out with the girl I was dating at the time because they liked her friend. So we would all meet at Los Palos, and we would have lunch and whatnot, and then one day it came down that, hey, we're having a party this weekend. You should come on by. So this is my freshman year, and I went, and I thought, that's a cool place. But didn't really think anything of it, but I became close with, started to become friends with SAEs, and then on my floor there was a brother named Cy Megman who ended up joining SAE. So then there was my real end to the house, and of course he would put all us guys from the floor. We had a really cool dorm floor that actually a few of us ended up rushing SAE, and then we started going to the parties, and then a year later I decided to go all in, and I ended up rushing there my sophomore year, so that would have been the fall of 94, so I would have been a sophomore when I rushed, finally.
You know what's funny, is that I thought I was a year older than you because you came in your sophomore year, and I thought that was your freshman year, and I don't know why I'm thinking that, but, all right, so anyway, what was your major?
I started out as a social studies education major. But like many of us, I kind of got steered. My ship sailed in a different direction. Had to drop it to just a history education major, and that's what I graduated with a BS in history.
And
5 years later.
And what have you been doing as far as career?
I was in sales for about 7 years right out of Ball State. I ended up graduating from BSU in spring of '98, May of '98, and then I went into sales. I was a substitute teacher for a little while, then I sold doors, believe it or not. I worked for a door manufacturer. I covered basically the Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois. Indianapolis was a big part of my market for about 7 years. But the whole time I was doing that, I knew I wanted to go back to school to get my teaching license. I knew I wanted to be a teacher. I've known I wanted to be a teacher forever. So I was doing that, saving money, started taking graduate school classes to get my certification. And in 2008, I completed that from Indiana University Northwest up here in Gary. Got my teaching certification, ended up getting a teaching job at my old high school, Portage. And I taught at Portage for 12, 13 years. And then I just started teaching at Valparaiso High School this past August. So I left Portage, and now I'm teaching at Valparaiso High School.
All right. So we're going to go back into the memories at the house. Who was the cook when you were there?
Oh, God. The cook at first was Jenny, Virginia. She was there for just a little bit, and then Jenny left us, and then we didn't have a cook for a while, for a couple months there, and then we brought on a really sweet lady named Barb. For the life of me, I don't remember Barb's last name. I know she was there for a number of years, even after I left, but she ended up being the cook and was just a great woman. I felt bad for her a lot. She had to put up with a lot of the crap that went on in the house. But she was there a while, and then as I heard stories later on, and years later, that her skin really toughened up. She was giving it back to the boys as well, so that's good. But I'm sure we opened her eyes to a lot of things that first couple of years she was there with us.
All right, and Sweetheart. How about Sweetheart? Who was the Sweetheart when you were there?
Oh, God, we had, LZ was the first Sweetheart that I remember, Lord Zimmerman. And then, of course, for many years after, it was Raquel.
Raquel, all right. So let's go to some specifics. What are some specific moments that, and I'm going to bring up one, at the parties, you would rap Rapper's Delight. Isn't that right?
I would. That was kind of, I don't remember. You know, I remember, it's funny you bring that up. I actually remember the first time I ever did that. And it was a homecoming party. And we had this band from Bloomington called Flatus come and play. And it was like this 16 piece band, horns. They played like 70s funk, rap, everything. And they started playing Rapper's Delight. And I remember I used to sing it in my room. And somehow I remember like Dan Burnside, Feeder, pushing me up there and going. They're like, he knows the words. And I sang like a couple lines of it. And then from there on out, somehow our DJ Kingsley found out about
it.
And at every party, that would be one of my personal highlights, because it was fun, but it was always a highlight of the parties, because everyone loved them. I would get up there and rap it, and I would do the short 5 to 8 minute long version of it, and to this day, I still really know all the words to the song, as crazy as it is. Every now and then, I'll throw it on my MP3 player and, you know, dance to a little bit, but yeah, it's a good, really good time. And even after we left, yeah, if I got invited to a wedding, sure enough, somebody would call me to the mic, and I would still do Rapper's Delight at brothers' weddings for years after. Even got to the point the wives were asking me to do it. It wasn't even the husband.
Can you drop the beat and give me a little bit? Can you just do a little bit?
Man,
the beginning. The begin. Just do the beginning part.
Let's see. I said Masterdondo. I said I go by the unforgettable name. It was a man called Don Doe. So that's where I'm from. Without hearing the music, I know how it is, Kurt. You've been there.
I used to do Beastie Boys Pass the Mic.
Yeah, you guys. I remember you guys. You was it Court Miller and Joe would do, or no, it was Dave McCauley. You guys would do Pass the Mic. I remember. You guys always ended the parties, if I remember correctly.
Did you remember when I pulled the coffin out on the stage in the basement and did it from the coffin on the Halloween party?
Oh, God, I don't remember that. Who knows where I would have been at that point.
All right, what are some other, let's say, bonding moments that you'd really appreciate the brotherhood, with some other really cool moments of just brothers supporting brothers memories?
Man, you know, I wish I could say there were one, you know, time or event, you know, and there's so many that I remember. We used to do a retreat, guy, and it was when I was a pledge. We ended up going to Brown County.
Yeah.
One of my pledge brothers, Nate Nichols, Nate was only with us for a year or two in the house. But his family owned a retreat, and the Rancho Fermata. We went down there, and he let us have it all weekend, and we kayaked, and we canoed, and that was really cool. But honestly, man, I think the best part of the brotherhood was just, hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, the guys over on Light Street, Boder, Kakusan, and Miller, and Kennedy are having guys over. Come on over, and, you know, let's just hang out. And we played washers or, you know, beer traffic or just hanging out. You know, I remember, you know, one of the best days is when the weather would finally break and we'd throw the couches on the front lawn and we'd just sit in the couches and just hang out, you know, and the parties and all the special events, the Patty Murphy, but I tell you, looking back, my favorite times were just sitting on the front, you know, on the couches and just hanging out and, you know, one by one, everyone would just, next thing you know, it'd go from just three or four guys hanging out on the front lawn to 30 of them and calling friends up. And next thing you know, we're having a little incoherent get together on the front lawn that, you know, everyone's just laughing, listening to music, just, you know, having fun. I mean, those are what I remember being, you know, the fun brotherhood stuff. And that's where you got to know guys. Because maybe some new guy comes up or, you know, a new member and you end up sitting next to him or standing, you just shoot the crap with them the rest of the day, just hanging out, you know. So that's what I remember.
All right, so
that I miss.
If you were going to kind of bring up maybe some moments after, well, okay, better way to phrase this. How did SAE prepare you for after school, and what are a few memories with brothers that you've been able to enjoy like throughout your life since school?
Man, that's a really good question. I would say the biggest thing that, you know, particularly SAE really prepared me for, and maybe Ball State as a whole, but SAE particular, because I chose, you know, I was chosen to be a member of SAE, and then I chose to remain a member of SAE through there. And, you know, what it really taught me is how to deal with people that are different from you, because I was raised very differently from a lot of the guys in the house. Being, you know, a Hispanic kid from, you know, Northwest Indiana, the region, who grew up in Gary, Indiana, and, you know, things like that. So I grew up really different from a lot of guys in the house. So I had to, not do soul searching, but just kind of, you know, find, all right, why do I like this guy? Or why do I talk to him? Or, you know, at the end of the day, this guy is my fraternity brother. And, you know, I got to respect him for that. Because, let's be honest, you don't get along with everyone in the fraternity. I mean, I know there are guys that probably didn't like me a lot, and that's fine. And I probably, well, I can't say there were too many guys I didn't like, but there were some guys that got on my nerves. But they were your fraternity brother, and at the end of the day, you were both choosing to be in that organization. So to me, it was like taking an oath. You take an oath to be on that guy's side and call him out if he's right or wrong, and, you know, let him know that at the end of the day, you got his back, but, you know, you're going to call him out. And that really prepared me for life, because that's really what life is about, being around people that aren't necessarily like you, and you have to adjust, and you do the best you can, and hopefully at the end of the day you at least have a mutual respect for each other. As far as after leaving Ball State, you know, I've been very fortunate where, for the most part, I've tried to keep in touch with a lot of my former roommates, my brothers, and there are a lot of guys that we lost touch with, but man, after graduating, there were trips to St. Louis for St. Patrick's Day and Mardi Gras with, you know, my two of my closest brother friends from the fraternity, the Mike and Dan Bodeker. I was in countless weddings. You know, I was, you know, in Tony Kearns' wedding, who's my little bro, who's like a brother to me. Even to this day, I'm the godfather to one of his kids. And, you know, you just do little things. Like, I went out about a year and a half ago. I flew out to Colorado, and I went and spent the weekend with Dan Bodeker and his family. You know, you just do those things. And even, I remember years afterwards, one of my roommates, brother Bill Mueller, who, again, 2 or 3 years younger than me, his family used to have a lake home. And every summer, once a weekend, his family would say, Bill, have Tony. I remember Sean Carlin came up a couple times, me and Mike Monsell, and we'd go up there for the weekend and tubing and, you know, playing on the pontoon boat and just hanging out. And, you know, you develop those relationships. And, you know, I may not talk to those guys as much as I like to anymore or see them as much, but you have those memories to fall back on, and it's cool. Like you and I today, you know, I got you on the phone. It was like we were transported back to 1995 at Ball State. It's like we didn't skip a beat. We caught up a little bit, but it's like, it's Kirker. It's Dondo. It's like, you know, you may not be around those guys or see us. You know, we may not see each other, but, you know, we see each other. A couple of years ago, my pledge class had a little reunion in Broad Ripple, and it was great, you know, and it was like we didn't miss a beat. You know, we went to a couple pubs and just hung out with our girlfriends and wives, and it was awesome. But now I think about it, that was like 5, 10 years ago now. It's just crazy how the years just, you know, pass on and pass on.
So how do you think it? How do you think it's going to be for you to be able to hear like Boedeker and hear some of these other guys' versions of what you're doing right now, as far as your what you've been doing through your life, and then some of the favorite memories from the past? Do you think that people are going to get a lot out of it?
I really think they will. I think, you know, you get together with people even today, and it always reverts back at some point. Somebody brings up a story from 1995, you know, when the Sigma Chi's and the SEs had a Halloween brawl in the middle of Riverside, and the tire was, you know, someone always brings up a story, and you can't help but laugh, and you shake your head, and you go, God, we were idiots, but man, did we have a good time, or man, that was a really sucky time. I'm glad I had you guys around for that stuff. So, you know, I think a lot of guys, hopefully we get the response and participation, because I think a lot of guys would enjoy hearing stories, and maybe some of the guys will enjoy hearing their name. No one, you know, that's why I'm trying to mention as many guys as I can remember, because I think that'd be cool to hear. Oh, I remember when Dondo used to get on stage every Saturday and rap, and, you know, get everybody partying and going and things like that, or, you know, going to Light Street and having fun, stuff like that. I think, you know, people will appreciate it. At least I hope they appreciate the stories.
Yeah, and I think that for the current actives, you know, for us to kind of learn about them, their careers, their accomplishments, and you know, for possibly even getting hired, or, you know, them hitting one of us up because maybe that's in the same industry of what they're studying. I think it's going to be a cool way for everybody to kind of learn and leverage the relationships without having to go anywhere and just get on, you know, Voices of SAE. And we're going to have the actives actually run kind of an email campaign that'll be Stories of the Week. It'll go out, so like new ones that are highlighted, and then obviously they'll all be linked to the same spot. But who would be some guys you'd like to hear tell their stuff? Like, if you're gonna, I know you've already mentioned a few, but like, who would be like from number one to whatever? Who would be some specific guys you'd love to hear some great moments from?
Oh man, I think of guys like. I mentioned both Boedeker brothers, I think, would be good. I think, you know, Corey Miller. I've got tons of names. Christian Horvath, my pledge trainer. Mark Kelsier, even guys younger than me. Tony Kearns. Bill Mueller was one of my roommates. Corey Hamill, I know, was doing some prosecution work up, and I haven't talked to him for a long time. T.J. Manning, you asked about, you know, there was a while where we were doing a mancation. It was me, Tony Curran, Chad Van Herk would be great. He's had some awesome adventures. Steve, the Paps brothers, Steve Paps and Sean Paps. But we used to do a mancation. Jeff Pickett out in Colorado. I mean, I could go on and on hearing about guys that, you know, and there are a lot of guys I keep in touch with. I'm thinking of guys that I haven't heard from. Slav would be cool. I always loved Slav Ryan White would be awesome as well. I mean, I'm thinking about the guy, Brian Johnson, Jeff Ward, some of those older guys who, coming into the house, you know, we're all in our early, late teens, early 20s, but you still look up to guys that were in the house that, you know, took pride in what we're doing, who are crazy, but, you know, always had a really good time. But, you know, you kind of look back. And I'll be honest, a lot of those guys I still talk to, but I haven't talked to some of those guys in months or years. You know, it's just one of those, oh, he's on Facebook, you know. That's one of the values of Facebook now, is at least we get an idea of what everyone's up to. You know, this is unrelated, but I got a call from, or a text from Jeremy Goldie, who is a brother younger than me, a couple weeks ago. I also coach track and cross country, and he just said, hey, man, I really respect what you're doing. You know, he coaches football out of high school, and he goes, I follow you, and it's cool to see you competing with your teams at such a high level. And that kind of got to me. I was like, man, it's great to hear from you, man, and I appreciate that, you know, because we don't talk about that kind of stuff, really, and it was just neat to hear from him and say, hey, I'm watching you, and I think it's really cool what you're doing, even though we coach completely different sports. It was just neat to hear that. So stuff like that would be cool. They just hear what guys are doing, you know, and the cool things they're doing, or, you know, they've done and things like that.
Right.
But there are a lot of guys out there with some cool stories that way more cooler than me.
Yeah, but we all contributed. If you hadn't done Rapper's Delight, I might not be as motivated for Pass the Mic.
It's good stuff, bro. Good stuff.
I've listened. Phi Alpha, I appreciate you taking the time for this and seeing the bigger vision. And but it's obviously voicesofse.com. But just stay on the line. And thanks, Dondo. I really appreciate it, brother. And I'm going to close this out.
All right, brother. Thank you.